Good morning. It's good to be here again. And if you're joining us on Zoom, I pray that God will bless you this morning. And if you're visiting us this morning, I pray you have a good time as we just worship together. I wonder if this morning you can say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And along with the psalmist, you can say, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Because if you can truly say that, then, of course, you can answer the question, "Whom shall I fear? And whom shall I be afraid?" And, of course, the answer to that is no one. We need fear nothing or nobody when we have God on our side. This morning we are continuing our series looking at prayer. And I trust that you have had a good time in the last week as you have studied the first section. And in your smaller groups you too have been blessed as you've shared the beginnings of what prayer actually is. We're going to look a bit further later on this morning at the next section of Pete's book. But before we do that, let me just open with a word of prayer and then we will sing together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for being here, for waiting for us to turn up. We gather and have been gathered together to worship you. We ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you work within us, deepening our relationship with you as we spend time together. Refresh us, I pray. May all we sing, all we pray, all we read, and every conversation we have bring glory to your name. Open our hearts and minds this morning to worship you and fill us, Jesus, with your presence. Take away all distractions, helping us focus on you this morning. Remind us again that you are much bigger than our circumstances and that your word says that we need not fear because you are with us. We're here in this space to say hello and seek your face once again. Make this time a time to remember, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing our opening couple of songs together. We're going to start this morning with a song we all know. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. And this morning, we want to turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus as we stand and we sing and we worship together. So let's stand and let's sing this together.
Hosanna,
Jesus, we do indeed welcome you here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are here, just waiting for us to turn up. And so, Father, as we continue this morning and sing and seek your face, I pray you'll meet us in a real, wonderful and new way. Amen.
You are the one that gave me one with God, the Lord was God. Hidden glory in creation, now revealing you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. Yeah. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing to stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Please take your seats. We are looking this morning at prayer, P-R-A-Y, pray. I'm going to show you a video now for the youngsters. Now, some of you I know have seen this before, but this I hope will help us to focus on prayer and what it actually is.
God's story, prayer. So part of God's story is about prayer, and it goes like this. Prayer is what we call a conversation we have with God. That means even though God created the entire universe and has power over all things, He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know Him. That's pretty amazing. We can talk to God anytime, anywhere, about anything. But let's look at four examples of different ways we can pray. One way to pray is to praise God. That's when we tell God what we love about Him. Like a guy named Jehoshaphat. He was king of God's family when some big-time armies declared war on them. Jehoshaphat was terrified, so he talked to God about it. He said, God, you are the mighty ruler of all things. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. King Jehoshaphat believed God could help them. So as he went into battle, he sent people ahead of his army to praise God. They said, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Yep, that means he thanked God before he won the war. And when God heard his praise, he caused those big armies to attack each other. Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight. A second way to pray is to repent. See, we all mess up, which means we turn away from God. When we repent, we ask him to forgive us, and we turn back to him. One time, another king named David made a big mistake. He took something that wasn't his. Then, David tried to cover it up, which turned it into an even bigger mess. When David's good friend Nathan told him he disobeyed God, David repented. He said, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Mercy is when someone gets forgiveness they don't deserve. And guess what? God will always forgive us when we repent. Of course, anyone can pray to God, not just kings. One woman named Hannah reminds us of a third way we can pray. We can ask God for something. Now, Hannah really wanted to have a baby, and she told God that. But you know what was crazy about her prayer? Even though she really wanted a baby, she said, God, if you give me a son, then I will give him back to you. Kids, isn't that unusual? To ask for something you want, then give it back? Well, a year later, Hannah had a son, and she did exactly what she promised. She gave her son back to God by sending him to live with a priest named Eli and do God's work. And Samuel just so happens to be a great example of a fourth way we can pray. Like any good conversation, we shouldn't do all the talking. We should listen, too. That's because God is in control, and we've got to yield or give in to what He wants. We yield when we listen to what God says and obey Him, no matter what we want. One night, God called Samuel's name 3 times. When Samuel finally realized God wanted to talk to him, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel stopped to listen, and God told him things. When Samuel obeyed what God told him, God kept talking to him. And when we pray, when we praise, when we repent, when we ask, and when we yield, we remember that he's the one in charge and that we get to talk to him because we're loved by him. And that's some of what the Bible says about prayer. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is also listening to God. There are a lot of ways to pray. Jehoshaphat praised God. David repented. Hannah asked God for what she really, really wanted. Samuel listened. And they all wanted what God wanted more than what they wanted. Prayer reminds us that God is in control. He loves us and wants to be close to us. And that's a part of God's story.
So did you get that? Praise, repent, ask, and yield. And the question I want to leave you with is this, young people. Do we want what God wants more than what we want? Do we want what God wants more than what we want? Because if the answer to that is yes, then I guess that requires sacrifice. It requires us giving up things. It requires us not wanting to do all the things that we want to do. But it leads on to one more question, doesn't it? What does God want? Because I guess we've got to answer that one first. What does God want? Well, the answer to that actually is really, really simple. And it's this. Relationship, relationship, relationship. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants a relationship with me. And not just any old relationship, but a 24/7 relationship. 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's not good enough to say, God, okay, I'll have a relationship with you this morning. I'll have a relationship with you till about 11:30, 11:45 when the service finishes. And then I'm going to go off and I'm going to do my own thing. And I'll come back next Sunday for another relationship of about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on who's speaking. That was very naughty, wasn't it? Okay. But God wants a relationship with you, and he wants a relationship with me that is all the day through. From the moment that we wake up this morning, all the way through the day, all the way through the night while we're asleep, until the moment we wake up tomorrow morning, and then on and on and on. And the only way for us to have that relationship with God is to spend time with him. Kind of a relationship with somebody that we never talk to, that we never interact with, that we never say hello to. And God wants us every day to say hello to him, because he's waiting for us to do just that. Wherever we are, at school, at home, eating our dinner, whatever that happens to be, God wants to be in relationship with you, and he wants to be in relationship with me. So remember that. Do you want what God wants more than what you want? Because it's all about relationship. Let me pray with you youngsters before you go off to your groups, and then you can go and have some more fun. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that you want to have a relationship with us. And that should really just make us say, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus, that you do want a relationship with us, no matter what. Give our youngsters a great time as they go to Sunday social now in whatever they're going to do. Bless the leaders who are taking charge of them this morning. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to move amongst them as they share with the youngsters. Open their hearts and their minds and let them all receive something new and afresh from you this morning, I ask. In your name, amen. Okay, young people, you may head off up the stairs to your Sunday social group. Have a great time in whatever you're going to get up to this morning. There's Mrs. Policewoman up there who's got her hat on ready to go. Not sure what they're going to do, but it's going to be fun. So have a great time, guys, as you go and enjoy things together. We're going to continue now in prayer as we come to our time of intercession. So let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, our world seems a very troubled place at the moment. And it's easy to wonder where you are in all the mess. But thank you this morning, we can stand on your word which says you will never leave us or abandon us. Help us to hold on to this truth and to pray it for all those that really need you this morning. And we particularly pray and remember the things that are going on in the Middle East and what is happening there at the moment. It now seems that war has arrived in Lebanon as well as Gaza. Lord, we cry out to you this morning and ask you to bring peace to this region. Soften the hearts and minds of those in authority in Israel and those other countries that are directly affected. Bring a swift end to the bloodshed and violence. And we pray this too for the Ukraine-Russia conflict also. Give governments around the world wisdom in how to best help and alleviate the suffering that is going on in these places. Lord Jesus, we can look at these situations through human eyes and see no hope. But thank you that you are bigger than what our eyes can see, and you're bigger than what our brains can fathom. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, or your ways our ways. Show those in power the way to sort these areas of conflict and bring comfort and peace to all those who are affected. Father, we look to our own land. We too see concerns here. People wondering again how they're going to manage this winter when the weather gets cold, especially all those that are not going to receive the winter fuel allowance that really need it. Lord, we know you can intervene in the minds of those that make decisions on behalf of us all. Please be with them as they continue to work through these difficult times ahead. Lord, help us all to make a difference where we can. Thank you for all we do in this fellowship to get alongside those that need you. Building Blocks, Warm Welcome Space, Trailblazers, all our nurture groups, and all the other midweek activities that happen here in this building. Continue to show us how we can help all ages to find and follow you. All in our fellowship that we know who are unwell, in whatever area of their lives that may be, I ask that you will be with them all this morning. Be to them what they need at this very moment. Let them feel and know you in a real and powerful way as you move through every circumstance. And so, Lord Jesus, continue to minister to us this morning as we continue our time of worship. Help us to learn more about you. We lay all our prayers at your feet. Amen. Before I just share a few thoughts this morning, we are going to sing again. And I picked this hymn really for one particular verse. And it's this: drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Let's stand this morning as we sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Brian. Be still and know that I am God. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Has he given you a new song this morning? Do people look at you? And are they amazed? So much so that they put their trust in the Lord? Be still and know that I am God. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. Is that your experience? Be still and know that I am God. You take no delight in sacrifice or offerings. Now that you've made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come. As it's written about me in the scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Is God's word written on your heart? Can you recite his words? Be still and know that I am God. I've told all your people about your justice. I've not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I've not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I've talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I've told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Have you? Do you go around telling all you meet about the goodness of God? Be still and know that I am God. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I've lost all courage. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're sitting there troubled and wondering how you're going to find a way out. Be still and know that I am. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. May those who try to destroy me be humiliated and put to shame. May those who take delight in my trouble be turned back in disgrace. Let them be horrified by their shame, for they said, aha, we've got him now. Do you need the Lord to rescue and help you this morning? Are you in that place where you know not what to do? Be still and know that I am God. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. 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 As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. You are my helper and my saviour. My God, do not delay. Are you able to shout this morning, the Lord is great? Be still and know that I am God. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. As we continue this morning, looking at prayer, and I trust you had a blessed first week. We approach chapters 3 and 4 in the book this week, and we start with the thought of, surprise, surprise, being still. Now, I don't know what you thought when I deliberately stopped at the beginning. Whether you thought I was just gathering myself, offering a quick prayer, or had completely lost my train of thought. But just stopping, especially with no warning, can become quite unsettling, particularly if it goes on for more than a couple of minutes. So how did you feel during those moments of silence? What did you hear? And if you were watching online, you would, I guess, have had a different experience to those of us here sitting in the room. And it was certainly really interesting for me to gaze on your faces during those few moments. Many of you decided to shut your eyes, to maybe offer prayers yourself. Or maybe some of you were sitting there, heads down, thinking something like, what is he doing? Is he all right? What is going on? Have I missed something? You see, you hadn't paused at all. And that's because, A, when we're awake, we're not used to pausing and trying to do absolutely nothing. And B, I hadn't actually told you to stop, to do nothing. Consciously stopping is actually not an easy thing to do. We get distracted and our minds start to wander. What's the time? What's on TV? How long to dinner? Is that a spider up there? Asking yourself anything and everything rather than actually stopping. Slowing and centering oneself actually takes practice. And it is an important beginning to any planned time of prayer. Stopping is the first part of Pete Greig's acronym, PRAY, P-R-A-Y. We've already seen a variant of that this morning. Pete's version is slightly different. Pause, rejoice, ask and yield. We start praying by pausing. To start, we must first stop, as he says in the book. Before we get to that place of actual prayer, we're encouraged to spend a few minutes just centering ourselves and making our focus Jesus. Putting aside all distractions, knowing that we are coming before and into the very presence of God. How often do you come to a time of prayer without saying hello first? Pete tells us in the book that the sages teach us that true prayer is not so much something we say, nor is it something we do. It's something we become. It is not transactional, but relational. And it begins, therefore, with an appropriate awareness of the one to whom we come. So before we rush headlong into prayer, we recognize God saying to us, be still and know that I am God. We turn our inward thoughts to the creator of the universe, who's already waiting for us to turn up. The I Am of the Old Testament, the Jesus of the Gospels, and the Holy Spirit we see plainly working in Acts are all inviting us into that space of prayer, wanting just to share fellowship and deepen their relationship with you and I. And that's why we're spending these 6 weeks looking at prayer. My personal hope for us all being that by the time we've finished, we will know God just a little bit more. Our relationship will have deepened. And maybe we may gain some new insights into how we can approach all the different aspects of prayer along the way. Pete gives us some practical ideas in the book on how we can take the first step of pausing, which doesn't, of course, necessarily have to be stationary or static. It can be done on the move. So if you're the type of person who finds it very hard to physically be still, you're always on the go, then there's advice for you also. And if you haven't already, you'll read this in the coming week. And there is, of course, time for you to discuss your thoughts in our nurture groups when we meet during the week. We're also going to encounter the next letter in Pete's acronym this week, R for rejoice. And how important it is to spend time just in adoring who God is. Hallowed be thy name, as the prayer goes. Recognizing God as holy, asking that his name is worshipped, honored, and adored on earth as it is in heaven. In the psalm that we read, the psalmist, having waited patiently, goes on to rejoice in God. He proclaims a God of protection, restoration, and guidance in verse 2, and as such is rejoicing in song in verse 3. He is recognized as a God who can be fully trusted, has many plans for us, and is unequaled. The writer talks of a God full of justice, faithfulness, and unfailing love, who has power to save. And I wonder if you resonate with this God in your own life. Can you testify this morning to all the good that God has poured into you? Even though the psalmist was, in their words, surrounded by troubles, too many to count, he was still able to spend the majority of his prayer in praise and adoration for the God that he knew. It was plain to see that the God he worshipped was big enough to rescue him, And even though his life at that moment seemed to be in the valley and not on the mountaintop, he was still able to rejoice in a God he knew was bigger than his circumstances. And of course, that is true for you and for me this morning. And as we look at those 9 words, I wonder what your thoughts are. I wonder if you recognize God in those words. We are going to pause just for a second. Well, actually, 6 minutes we're going to pause for. And I'm going to play a song to you. And it's a song some of you may well know. It's a new release, a new recording. And it's simply called You Are Great. And as we sit and listen, maybe you can just open yourself up this morning to say, God, what do you want to do for me and with me? And let's just spend 6 minutes just in adoration of the God who is bigger than anything we can think or imagine.
Here I am safe in the arms of my Savior. Deep in my heart, you are with me. Fountain.
Adoration is a great thing, isn't it? We can just stand in awe of the God who created the universe. God is a big God. And you know, certainly I can forget that at times. The God that I seek to worship, I can seem to actually make much smaller than the miracle-working God who was real in the lives of those we encounter in the Bible. And it's time, I guess, I went and stood outside on a completely clear night and looked up to the heavens. It is simply mind-boggling. Not only the sheer number of stars, but their colossal size, all residing in the vastness of space. I'm reminded of a particular star astronomers have called Arendil, which is the most distant star we have ever seen. There it is. Snapped by the James Webb Space Telescope. Do you know that this star is currently 28 billion light years away from Earth? And get this, the light that we are seeing from that star was emitted some 12.9 billion years ago. And this is just one star of what astronomers estimate could be up to one septillion that exists throughout the universe. Now, just in case septillion has you confused, and it did me, septillion is a 1 followed by 24 zeros. Don't ask. I can't comprehend that number either. So if you haven't done it for a while, go out one night when there's little cloud cover and just look up to the sky. And I guess you will just stand in awe. Now, what's even more astounding is that we're only able to see Arendil because a galaxy cluster sitting between that star and the Earth is so massive that it actually warps the very fabric of space itself, creating a wrinkle in space-time which produces a magnifying effect. Wow. How do you comprehend any of that? Well, let my brain just come back to earth for a second. I get my Bible and I open it right at the beginning and I read from Genesis. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And it doesn't matter what you think of the creation story as depicted in the Bible. Bottom line, God created from nothing. The how and over what time period for me is irrelevant. It was all put there by a God who is so infinitely bigger than I can ever imagine, but still wants to have a personal, living relationship with me. Go figure that one out. And I simply stand here in awe this morning. And so when I come to pray, adoration, just simply praising and rejoicing in God, should be a very real part of the total time I spend talking with my Lord and Saviour. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. As I look towards creation and all God has made, just like the psalmist in our reading, I can shout, "The Lord is great." One septillion stars. The Lord is great. Providing food for my table. The Lord is great. Enabling me to be a dad. The Lord is great. Blessing me with a wife that I simply could not do without. The Lord is great. Bringing me into this church family, the Lord is great. And sending his son to die to secure my salvation, the Lord is great, the Lord is great, the Lord is great. As we finish, let me leave the last words to Pete, who says in his book, "The invitation to adoration means greeting our Heavenly Father by name, meeting his smile with a smile, receiving him as the loved one he truly is, responding to his kindness with kindness, his presence with presence, and his love with our own. In a world that forsakes and despises him continually, what joy we can bring to the Father's heart. God is good, and we are loved." As you engage with your nurture groups this week, my prayer for us all is that God gives us a new song to sing. A hymn of praise directed to the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And I invite you all in your groups to spend a little time pausing. And after you've done that, rejoice and shout, "The Lord is great." Amen. We're going to finish this morning by singing, "Lord Jesus, send us out of this building to continue to worship you as we head into another week. Reveal more of yourself in the coming days and guide our steps. Give each us an opportunity to show your love to someone this week. Bless our conversation now as we share refreshments together. And so may Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you now and always. Amen.